Welcome to the Resource People Podcast, presented to you by Australian Resources and Energy Group, AMA. The Resource People Podcast brings to life the stories behind the people, workforces and companies of our great industry.
Hi, it's Tara from AMA. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Resource People Podcast. In 2017, Hannah Campbell won the AMA Industry Award for Young Professional, and she's now the production manager at Inzotech Pivot. And we have a real chat about her story, her drive and her development and ongoing development as a leader. We touch on her key achievements. And when we recorded this episode, Hannah was in a 2-week quarantine coming into Queensland. So we talk a little bit about that as well. But I really hope you enjoy hearing how Hannah is developing in our industry in a really non-traditional area for females and what her leadership journey is and continues to be. Welcome to Resource People Podcast, Hannah.
Thanks, Tara.
Well, the first we heard about you was in 2017 because you won the AMA Industry Award for Young Professional. I would love for you to tell people why you won that award. And then, of course, if that includes telling us a bit about your role and where you're at now, that would be fantastic too.
Yeah, absolutely. So the last time I caught up with AMA was in 2017 when I won that award, as you said, and that was for my role in the Moranbah turnaround of May of 2017. And so I performed the turnaround operations readiness role as part of that turnaround, which was basically meant that I was responsible for the planning and execution of the decommissioning and commissioning stages around the 42-day major outage. So, you know, prior to that, I'd come into IPL through the graduate program and someone took a leap of faith on me, and I guess I sort of took a bit of a leap of faith moving into that major role. The team managed to execute a really successful outage, and that was the outcome. And I think since 2017, I've, you know, worked in a number of roles. And at the time, I actually expressed a desire to move into an operations management role. And I actually got this opportunity shortly after receiving the AMA award when I moved into the production superintendent role at that same plant in August 2017. So I spent 2 years as superintendent, and that experience provided me a large number of challenges as I sort of began to find my feet leading in an operational context rather than a project environment. And I certainly had some, you know, great highs in that role and really enjoyed it. And in fact, the role really solidified with me that people leadership is what I'm passionate about, and that's where I want to spend the next part of my career. And that led to then in August last year, me being offered a secondment to our Geelong plant as production manager, which I was really excited, very flattered, bit nervous to accept. And this was kind of, you know, a new process for me, a new people, also a new state as I grew up in Queensland and I'd never lived in Victoria until last year. So again, you know, provided a great, very steep learning curve as I kind of moved a step further away from the front line and leading line leaders into a more strategic leadership role. And I think the combination of kind of so many new experiences at once was a tad overwhelming, but quickly grew to love the work and also fell in love with living in Victoria and all that that had to offer. And, you know, the wine and the culture and the food is certainly
fantastic
from central Queensland.
Yes. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions from that.
Absolutely.
I do want to talk about finding your feet, but I want to go back a lot further. So at that, and congratulations on winning the AMA award. You were a process engineer at the time. And I want to ask what led you to your career and you're looking to become an engineer. We do know statistically that fewer females do that than males. We do know that the resource and energy industry is male dominated. So what was your journey to becoming an engineer? And do you have any observations about that more broadly in terms of the industry being male dominated?
Yeah, I think for me, I never really knew what I wanted to do when I left school. And it wasn't, I sort of fell into engineering, to be honest. I really enjoyed maths and science at school. And when I started as an engineer, I still wasn't sure that that's what I wanted to do until I started doing my vacation work. And it was at a Incitec Pivot site in Phosphate Hill. And I actually fell in love with manufacturing, and I love the kind of hustle and bustle and the fast-paced nature, but also the fact that it's so grounded in problem solving and being able to work with a diverse group of people. And I think, you know, you speak about it still being a very male-dominated industry, both manufacturing and the resources industry. And I think the one thing that I've realized is that women bring that kind of diversity of thought, but a strength that a lot of women that I've worked with have also got is the ability to recognize in other people potential that they perhaps don't see in themselves. And, you know, not to say that that's a female only trait, but I think it's a real strength. And I think that's really the future of manufacturing and resources is being able to bring out that diversity and align everyone towards that kind of common goal.
Yeah, fantastic. And I will touch up on that with a few other questions later. But for those listeners that don't know about Incitec Pivot, could you give us a bit of an overview about what Incitec Pivot does?
Yeah, so Incitec Pivot is a industrial chemical manufacturing company. We are a global company. We have a large manufacturing base in Australia. And there's basically two branches of Incitec Pivot. So there's a fertilizer branch, and an industrial explosives branch.
Well, fantastic. And you said find my feet, but it seems to me that you've been given some really fantastic career opportunities and you've really pursued them. What would you say to people in relation to developing a career in a resources and energy or indeed a male-dominated industry in terms of your career development and your success to date in terms of being able to take opportunities?
Yeah, I think like you say, I have been given some amazing opportunities, which I'm very thankful for. I also think that the fact that I've been willing to kind of take that leap and one of the things that I'm really passionate about is taking control over my own career and my own future. And I think my kind of biggest piece to advice my biggest piece of advice to not only young females, but anyone within the industry is there will always be someone there to support you and to mentor you if you're willing to drive it yourself and to kind of grab that information and that knowledge and that mentoring. So I think, you know, for me, I'm a very driven person and I always have been and I love to learn. And I try and basically help other people realize that the world is their oyster, but you got to take control of your own future.
Absolutely. That's such great advice. And of course, there's always a gap when people are moving up in terms of into these other opportunities. And sometimes people don't take those opportunities because they feel like they haven't got the experience or the skills yet. And so that focus on being able to get support and mentored and the like is so important. I want to ask you in terms of your move into leadership and the opportunities that Incitec Pivot has provided you to be able to develop your leadership capability. How have you found, this is a really kind of, you know, basic question, but how have you found leading people older than you and perhaps more experienced in that particular plant or that particular element of the manufacturing process?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. There have been a lot of times when it's been really daunting. And I think, you know, moving into the superintendent role at Moranbah was probably the first taste of real line leadership in an operational environment. And I was working with people, like you say, I had 40 men report to me, two of which were female. And I think I was the youngest. In fact, I'm probably sure I was the youngest and everyone else had a lot more experience than me. And that was really daunting. And one thing that I was particularly fearful about a number of times was my lack of technical ability compared to those who I led. I had a really good mentor who helped me realize that my strength was not in the technical space, but my strength was in helping those around me bring out their strengths and work towards kind of the team goal. And, you know, I had to get over the fact that that meant that even though I was the youngest and I was a female in that environment, that actually didn't matter because my skill sets differed to those of the people that I was leading. So absolutely not going to lie that it has played on my mind more times than I can probably count. And again, moving down to Geelong in the production manager role was another, you know, really big step because the people down there didn't know what I could do. They hadn't seen how I operated. And so, yeah, it's really challenging. And I can imagine that there are so many people, particularly young females within the industry, who don't take those steps because they're fearful of that.
I want to pull apart one element of that in terms of it's such an interesting insight around technical expertise and other types of expertise, because in resource and energy, technical expertise has traditionally been the leadership pathway. It's traditionally been that you are exceptional at something technical and therefore you become a supervisor, a superintendent, etc. But obviously people in your organization identified that you had a mixture of both and indeed a very strong sense of, you know, your ability to get the most out of a team and your leadership style. Can you tell us a little bit about your leadership style that would really allow people who might not be, you know, the best technically at whatever their, you know, particular function is, but might have aspirations for leadership. Can you describe your leadership style or how you'd like to approach leadership that'll give people a bit of insight into that?
Yeah, so I've been really lucky to be exposed to a number of great leaders and exposed to a number of various environments. And I think that's really helped me discover and also experiment with who I want to be as a leader. I think, you know, first and foremost, like I said previously, I'm a keen believer that the skills and experience that you need to drive change and be successful, that they exist on the ground. And really my role as a leader is around unlocking these and empowering people to take ownership over them. And sometimes people don't see these skills themselves. And so it's really our job to help them see that, help them own that, and then make the decisions at the right level. So I think that's the first piece. The second piece that I really work on as a leader is in aligning different people with diverse strengths towards that kind of common goal and helping people really feel and see what that future looks like. I think we talk a lot about company vision and future direction, but it's not often that people can really kind of touch and feel it and go, yeah, actually I see what that is, but I also know what my part is in that, vision. So that's really how I like to operate as a leader.
And what experience did you get when you moved to that role in Geelong, where, as you say, nobody knew who you were and what you'd done, and you really came into that team and into that operations fresh? What were the sorts of things that you, in the process of finding your feet, you found really worked in terms of, you know, taking on that leadership role with people that you've never worked with before?
I think when I first moved down to Geelong, I thought about how I was going to tackle it going into a very well-established team. They, you know, a lot of the leadership team on site have been there quite some time and have previously worked together as well. A big part of what I did when I first moved there is, I guess, threw the rule book out the window and went, I don't really know how I'm going to approach this situation. And I had to be really adaptable and form relationships with the team down there, rather than going in with kind of a fixed way of saying, this is how I'm going to lead. And I think it's really important that, you know, while I've got my own style as a leader and how I like to operate, particularly within the manufacturing environment, you have to be adaptable and you have to go, okay, well, this is what worked at Moranbah, but at the Geelong site, we have different challenges and different skill sets and different expertise. And so I have to kind of adapt how I work with the team to be able to get the results out of them and also, you know, absorb some of that for myself and become a more well-rounded leader.
So you've now returned to Queensland after doing that role since August last year. Can you reflect on for us, what do you think, you know, was successful for you in doing that role and coming fresh into a new operation with people you hadn't worked with before? But do you have any advice for people that may be taking a similar challenge that, you know, you wish you'd have known before you did it? You know, you talked about making sure that you knew you couldn't go in with it with a fixed mindset, that you knew you'd have to have those adaptive competencies. But what do you wish you'd have known going into it that other, you know, someone else could have given you some advice on?
Yeah, so when I went down to Geelong, I spent a bit of time working through, you know, what I thought I could offer to the team and to the site, and came up with a bit of a plan and, you know, spoke with the leadership team. And some components of that plan, I feel like I executed well and helped the site develop and grow. But there are also some elements of that plan that I should have evolved along the way. And I think there's a great strength in being able to kind of put your hand up a month in or 2 months in and say, actually, I didn't probably read that situation quite right. And I think there's more we could do there to help us become a better site. Mm-hmm. So there are a few elements where, you know, I had grand intentions with the team. And towards the end of the kind of 12 months that I spent down there, I sort of reflected back and went, actually, if I'd early on have called that, I probably could have ended up with an even better outcome. So I think, you know, in light of being adaptive and being able to work in different environments, I think that's great. But sometimes that also means being able to call it early that your plan probably isn't going in the right direction, and being able to change that and being brave enough, I guess, to put your hand up and say, yeah, we got to change this up a bit.
Yeah, that's such good reflection. Can you also now just give us a bit of insight into some of the things that may have been barriers for you that you really had to address, whether that's from a culture perspective, whether that's from an, you know, individuals or team perspective? Was there anything particular that, you know, you felt was particularly challenging?
I think, to be honest, the most challenging or the biggest barrier for me was probably my own internal barrier. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's different challenges when you work with teams and different sites, and you get that everywhere. But probably one of the biggest things for me was that, to a certain extent, I still felt like I was too young and too experienced to be in that, too inexperienced to be in that role. And it was only when I began to gain a bit more confidence in myself that I feel like I was able to work to my best potential in that role. And so I think, regardless of the kind of external factors, I think it's really important to be mindful of whether we're holding ourselves back. And that's not just, I think it's quite prevalent with females in the industry, but it's not just a female thing. And it's that feeling of, well, yeah, am I actually the one that's limiting myself, or is it really an external limitation?
Yeah, great insight there. And you know, we've just touched on that you spent 12 months there and you've recently returned to Queensland. And of course, you've done that in the middle of a global pandemic. So Hannah comes to you today from hotel quarantine, transferring from living in Victoria back to Queensland. Can you talk a little bit about what that experience has been like, you know, picking up your life again, taking on a different, you know, taking on a different journey now? And, you know, what's it been like working through hotel quarantine through COVID-19?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I hope we never go through this again in our lifetime. But, you know, as with a lot of workplaces, not only did we kind of adapt when I was down at Geelong, but I've now had to adapt, and moving state is challenging at the best of times. But I think probably what's been really important to me, not only before I left with my team, but during the move, is being aware of the kind of emotional response and well-being and how important that is to not only the company's success, but my success during this period. And IPL launched a well-being campaign during the period, which was great. Particularly, there's a piece around the ABCs of mental health. Okay. And I think not only did that help ensure my team were mentally healthy before I moved up here, but it's also really helping me now in hotel quarantine, because it can be quite isolating. And there are days when, you know, you're trying to check in with others and make sure that others are okay. But it's not until you kind of put your phone aside for a few hours and you're able to check in with yourself that you're really able to kind of recoup. And And I am a pretty strong believer in that only by doing that and checking in with yourself are you then able to continue pouring the energy into those that you love and those that you lead.
Yeah, great. Can you tell us a bit about the ABC program?
Yeah, so the ABC program, the messages are really around staying active, connecting with others, keeping a calm mind. Which, you know, nothing groundbreaking. However, it's something that we don't deliberately think about enough. Or if we do, like I said, it's usually around checking in with others rather than checking in with ourselves and really ensuring that we're in a strong enough headspace to then help the others, to then help other people.
Yeah, fantastic. And so you're moving back to the Moranbah site. When you left the Moranbah site, you were production superintendent. You're now going back as production manager. What are you going to take from your experience in Geelong back into the role that you're going to be now doing at Moranbah?
Yeah, so there's a few things technically that I learned in Geelong. The challenges at the Geelong site are very different to what I experienced as a superintendent at Moranbah. So there's a few technical things that I'll be taking back. But I think the biggest thing for me is the growth that I've been able to kind of experience with working with a diverse group of people. And it's really exciting to now be able to go back to a team of people who I predominantly know and have predominantly worked with before. But I believe I'm now kind of a more well-rounded leader in that I've worked with a more diverse group of people and being able to kind of identify strengths in others and bring that out and also strengths in myself and a confidence in myself as well that I didn't have before I left.
Well, congratulations on your career progression and congratulations on returning to Moranbah as production manager. It's absolutely fantastic. But I have to labour the point about hotel quarantine because we've got so many people that'll be listening to this and so many members of AMA who are, you know, either themselves moving between states or having to coordinate their workforce between states with these two-week hotel quarantines. Can you give us any insight into what it's like? How have you kept yourself, you know, from a work perspective and from a personal perspective, motivated? You know, when we met, I asked you if you're getting much sunlight because we know that's, you know, a really important element. But, yeah, can you give us a bit of an insight into the experience you're going through?
Yeah, absolutely. I must admit, I have been pleasantly surprised with the quality of the food. And
the food's okay. Great. Good.
Yeah, the food's okay. It's good. You can also get Uber Eats, which helps. But look, I think the biggest thing for me is I've tried really hard to establish a routine while I've been here. So, you know, I get up at the same time and I do some exercise and that's, you know, Pilates in the room and or running around the car park. I managed to do 5K in the car park the other day, which is harder than you'd think. But I think, you know, the really important things are, yeah, establishing that routine. It's been great. People both from within IPL and friends and family have been checking up on me or dropping off care packages, which is great. So I think the biggest thing is anyone who's got to do it, please don't underestimate the impact it can have mentally. But I think it's also been a really great opportunity for me to have a bit of forced downtime. And particularly in transitioning between roles, it's been a great way to kind of get my head out of one game, take reset. Some time to reflect, reset and move on to the next adventure.
Well, all the best for what remains of your quarantine time. We really appreciate that you're able to share that with us because it's, you know, who knows how long that challenge of supporting people during, you know, long stints in hotel or self-isolation is going to continue. You've talked to us a bit about your leadership style, which has been, you know, really fantastic. We've talked a bit about your career to date. I'm going to ask you soon some questions about, you know, what your career goals are. But I understand that you're also really passionate about supporting other young professionals, particularly young female professionals making their way in the resources industry. And you also touched on the fact that you kind of fell into engineering, that you really, you know, maths and science was your thing and it's where you fell. But Can you talk about what you think, you know, the industry could do more of to support young people in their careers, in resources, but particularly young females, maybe even just thinking about resources and energy and indeed, you know, manufacturing as male-dominated industries to attract them, but then also to motivate and retain and develop them in these industries?
Yeah, I think it is something I'm really passionate about, like you said. And I think really it starts at school. And I think the resources industry has a bigger part to play. And I know, you know, AMA and a lot of other organizations do work around attracting students to study STEM subjects. Mm. And really, I think that's kind of where it all starts. And that's the crux of it, is allowing people to broaden the opportunities they have, or rather not cutting off those opportunities at such a young age. You know, I speak to so many people in kind of university or early in their careers who wish they'd stayed studying science and maths and,
right,
and didn't when they were younger, and now going through different pathways to kind of broaden their career, because I think you don't know what you want to do when you're young. And so I think the biggest thing for me is, let's encourage people to stay studying STEM and really broaden what options they have. And then from there, you know, the industry and individuals one-on-one can continue to mentor people in the opportunities that the resource industry provides. I think the other thing that we need to tackle is the perception of what an engineer is. An engineer is, there is so many different pathways that you can go down when you study engineering. And when people sort of say to me, oh, what do you do? I go, well, you know, I'm kind of not really a traditional engineer, but I'm not sure what a traditional engineer is anymore. There's so many different options. And so I think there's really an awareness piece there as well around helping people understand what the possibilities are when they go into a technical STEM-based degree, really.
Well, you know, what you've just said, the research really backs up in that, you know, young females by the grade six decide whether they're going to turn on or off to maths and science. And so really that primary school piece is really important. And I've got great news. In fact, next week, AMA's bringing its Bright Future STEM program to Moranbah, to three different schools in Moranbah, to put industry role models and do STEM-based activities to really encourage people to think about, you know, the real world applications to studying, you know, STEM, maths and science subjects. So looking forward to that. We'll probably beat you there by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
With you being in quarantine. But I want to ask about, you know, you're returning as production manager, which is so fantastic, back to Moranbah. You know, Incitec Pivot have provided you some what sounds like really wonderful and stretch opportunities for you. So we really hope that that continues. And it's absolutely no surprise that you won the 2017 Young Professional for the Industry based on the types of experience that you've had. So, you know, do you set yourself any career goals? Are you that kind of person? And, you know, do you look to the future and do you have particular things that you want to tick off? Or are you really far more kind of organic, for lack of a better word, in terms of what the career, what your career and what your life brings?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And you touched on the opportunities I've been given. And my career to date has been a little bit of me kind of saying to IPL, well, this is the area I want to move into. But it's also been a lot with luck and timing and having those opportunities and then just jumping
grabbing those opportunities
and trying that out. Yeah, that's right. It's really interesting. The role I have been working towards for the last kind of 5 years is the one that I'm about to start next week. So I think I didn't think I'd get there this quick, which is, you know, something I'm really proud of and quite humbled by. But funnily enough, Tara, I don't really have a fixed idea of when I want to be after this. And I've got some ideas, but I think also given the pace of my career to date, it's almost nice to be open to what opportunities present themselves, both kind of professionally and personally, and not being so kind of fixed in my path. I think, you know, I think there's an opportunity for me to grow my skills into a more strategic role. And I love manufacturing and I love the resources industry, and I can't see that changing anytime soon. But, you know, where that takes me and whether I could move away from the kind of rewarding day-to-day interactions with operational staff is really something that I haven't figured out yet.
Well, it's been a couple of years since we checked in last time, and we'll make sure to make a note to check in with you in your role as production manager in a some time down the road to see how that's all been going, because it's just absolutely wonderful to hear not only the opportunities that have been available to you, but also what you've done with those opportunities in terms of your own career development and what sounds like to be really focused on your leadership development. So thank you so much for sharing your journey to date. We're looking forward to watching and supporting and cheering on what happens next. Hannah, thanks so much for joining us on Resource People Podcast.
Thanks, Tara. It's been a pleasure.
Another fantastic role model and all-round great person, Hannah Campbell. Such a great episode, and I really hope you enjoyed hearing about what she's been up to since she won the AMA Industry Award in 2017 and where her career's taken her. Thanks so much for joining us today, and hope you can join us again for another episode soon.
Thank you for listening to the Resource People Podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time as we highlight the many great stories of the resources and energy industry. If you have any questions about the podcast, please email media@ama.org.au. Produced by Brad Thompson.